A Vietnamese executive assistant with impeccable credentials earns $1,000 monthly. A Filipino web developer makes $700 to $1,400 compared to $82,000 for the same work in the U.S. By 2020, America and Europe accounted for just 25% of the world's college-educated workforce. India alone turns out nearly 1 million IT graduates and over 1 million engineers annually. This isn't a distant threat. It's the world we're already living in. Since 2000, population has grown 2.4 times faster than jobs, reversing decades where jobs outpaced population. Three forces are dismantling traditional employment. Globalization has made your skills globally comparable. Technology is advancing exponentially through Moore's Law, 40% annual improvement versus the Industrial Revolution's 1% to 2%, and credentials have become commoditized despite more people holding degrees than ever. Even prestigious law school graduates struggle to find work. The fundamental shift isn't about finding better jobs, it's about creating them. We're witnessing peak jobs, and the decline is permanent. Economic power shifts by overcoming bottlenecks. In the agricultural economy, 1300 to 1700, land was everything. Henry VIII dissolved monasteries and redistributed their land, enriching England while crushing the church's influence. By 1648, kings had eclipsed the pope. The industrial economy, 1700-1900, made capital king. Nathan Rothschild loaned money to land-rich Prussian King Friedrich Wilhelm III to fight Napoleon, dictating terms and demanding parliamentary government to ensure repayment. Banks had transcended nation-states. The knowledge economy, 1900 to 2000, made information scarce. In 1975, IBM issued a billion-dollar bond using multiple banks instead of just Morgan Stanley, commoditizing banking relationships. Corporations now dictated terms to bankers. Today's fourth transition, entrepreneurship is becoming the scarce resource. Individuals empowered by technology are eclipsing corporations. History shows early adopters, Henry VIII with land, the Rothschilds with capital, IBM with knowledge, reap extraordinary rewards. The question isn't whether this shift is happening, but whether you'll be early enough to benefit. Consider two accountants. Max stays corporate while Rand launches a meal replacement bar company. Max builds his life around steady paychecks until his job gets outsourced to the Philippines. He's accumulated what Nassim Taleb calls silent risk, invisible danger, compounding over time. His skills are limited to following orders within existing systems. Rand experiences immediate feedback. When products don't sell, he adjusts. His income fluctuates, but he's building valuable skills and systems. His risks are transparent and force adaptation. We've been raised in mediocre-stan, a world of bell curves where outcomes cluster around averages. But we actually live in extremistan, where Pareto distributions create extreme outliers and a few capture most rewards. Our education system reinforces fairness and predictability, but the real world operates with sudden, violent, unforeseen changes. Risk lives in the future, not the past. Just as excluding world wars would make the 20th century appear peaceful, we can't judge future safety based on past stability. In extremistan, what once seemed safe is now risky, and what once seemed risky has become safe. Three forces demolished entrepreneurial barriers. Production costs plummeted 99%. What cost $150,000 monthly in 2000 now costs $1,500. Airbnb monetizes spare rooms without hotels. Uber eliminated expensive taxi medallions. Software as a service transformed infrastructure. Xero costs $9 monthly versus thousands for accounting software. Dan Norris runs a 35-person global team for $1,200 in monthly subscriptions. Scott Young completed MIT's curriculum in 12 months for $2,000, 98.7% cheaper and 3 years faster. Distribution democratization eliminated gatekeepers. PewDiePie generates millions with under $100 in equipment. Single-author blogs outperform newspapers. New markets emerge daily. The internet eliminated geographic constraints, revealing profitable niches. Jake Poole's dental marketing agency and Andrew Udarian's CB radio business thrive through deep niche understanding. With S&P 500 company tenure shrinking from 61 years, 1958, to 18 years today, markets move faster than ever, creating unprecedented opportunities. Rob Walling's journey demolishes the myth that entrepreneurship requires all-or-nothing leaps. He acquired invoicing software and grew it to 2 to 4K monthly using SEO. This success funded purchases of multiple businesses, an e-commerce site, website themes, niche job boards. Each venture added tools to his entrepreneurial toolkit, hiring contractors, customer management, marketing channels. He built confidence and capital simultaneously, eventually leveraging his experience into Drip, a larger SaaS application. Others followed similar paths. Richard Chen built phpgrid.com, David Hennenweger created WordPress plugins, Andrew Udarian built e-commerce businesses, Nathan Barry progressed from design books to software. What unites them? Capital and credentials were no longer barriers, just affordable online resources and hard work. Apprenticeships are also making a comeback. For centuries before 1900, careers began through apprenticing rather than degrees. Apprenticeships build relationships with experienced entrepreneurs, provide effective training where formal education falls short, and offer better value by allowing apprentices to get paid while learning practical skills. When hiring apprentices, look for people who have done things, candidates demonstrating upward trajectory through completed projects. Trajectory matters more than credentials. Evolution made us irrationally loss-averse. People typically demand 1.5 to 2.5 times potential gain to accept equal risk of loss. Professional poker players think differently, calculating expected value. A skilled player calls a bet with 40% chance of winning $1,000 against 60% chance of losing $500, because the expected value of $100 makes it mathematically correct, regardless of outcome. Entrepreneurs operate similarly, systematically pursuing positive expected value opportunities. Scott Adams failed at a dozen businesses before Dilbert generated $75 million. Laura, a 10-year entrepreneur, earns mid-six figures working 10 hours weekly while owning a million-dollar asset. Unlike Jobs, entrepreneurship provides unlimited leverage, builds sellable assets, and develops protective skills. Once we reach about $75,000 annually, money becomes less motivating than meaning and freedom. Viktor Frankl observed that concentration camp prisoners who maintained future purpose showed remarkable resilience. Humans fundamentally seek meaning through action. Today's generation has unprecedented tools for creating meaningful work that delivers money, meaning, and freedom simultaneously. We live in a society of indefinite optimism, sensing opportunity but failing to seize it. Unlike baby boomers who built wealth through bold visions, our generation has become wealth rearrangers who merely circulate existing money. Entrepreneurship expands our power to design entire lives, not just choose from existing options. The hallway test asks, looking at someone 5 years ahead in your company, do you want their life? Stack Overflow founder Joel Spolsky notes, companies like Goldman Sachs must pay programmers double what meaningful work would cost, yet still produce less innovation. Mark Andreessen discovered successful founders become angry when their ideas are questioned because they've deeply considered their problem's importance. Mark Zuckerberg rejected Yahoo's $1 billion offer because Facebook was meaningful work worth continuing. The democratization of entrepreneurship offers unprecedented access to money, meaning, and freedom. Your perfect day isn't a fantasy to postpone. It's a blueprint to build. Stop choosing from menus others have written and start designing the reality you want to inhabit.